Today's shir is Masechta Avodah Zarah Daf Lamed Gimel. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph, four lines from the top. Tan Rabbanan, Oyvik Kachavim Hoylech Yurid. If a Nachri is going to a fair where they did business with Avodah Zarah, Bein Ba'alicha Bein B'chazara, whether it's on the way he's going to that fear or whether he's coming home, mutter, one is allowed to do business with him. And it's not similar to what we discussed in our previous year, where somebody is going to Tarfus, somebody's going directly to Avodah Zarah, that we learned in our previous year that the halacha is that on his way to that Avodah Zarah, one may not do business with him, as we learned, because there's a concern that he may, when he gets to his Avodah Zarah, give praise to his Avodah Zarah for that successful business transaction. Here, when somebody is going to this fair, then the halacha is that we could do business with him. And we're not concerned that he's going to use this as an opportunity for Avodah Zarah. And the Rishonim give a number of explanations. One explanation is, because since this Nachri doesn't worship this Avodah Zarah, so the fact that he's going to that fair doesn't mean he's going to praise his Avodah Zarah. And another explanation is that even though the fair may be taking place near an Avodah Zarah, it really isn't connected to the Avodah Zarah. It's not, as the Rajba says, not during their holiday, and therefore the concern that he may use this as an opportunity to praise his Avodah Zarah doesn't apply. Another explanation that the Ravid suggests, also a concept that we discussed at the beginning of our Masechta, that here we're referring to a situation where he's doing something which is not on there, which is not lakiyum. It's something that really doesn't last. And since it's not something that really lasts, so therefore the halacha is we don't have to be concerned that he's going to praise the Avodah Zarah. It's not considered significant enough of a transaction that he should praise his Avodah Zarah for. Yisrael, however, when we speak about Yisrael, ha'holach liyurid, if Yisrael is going to do business, then ba'alicha mutter, when he's going, we could do business with him. B'chazara, but when he's coming back, asur, as the Gemara explains immediately. Ask the Gemara, mashna Yisrael de b'chazara asur. Why is the halacha when the Yisrael is coming back from that fear? We can't do any business with him. Damri, because we need to be concerned, Avodah Kachavim Zavan, he sold Avodah Zarah, he sold statues at the fair. But the Mei Avodah Kachavim Ikabadai, that means that the money he got in exchange for the Avodah Zarah is also Bahana. And therefore, if we're going to do business with him, we may end up with that actual money. And if we end up with that actual money, then we're going to be ending up money that we're not allowed to have in our position, we're not allowed to have any in law from. If asked the Gemara, if that is the consideration, if that is the concern, that Avodah Kachavim Nami Neima, so we say that by a Nachri as well, that Avodah Kachavim Zavin, he sold Avodah Zarah, and what money we're going to get from him in exchange for whatever deal we do with him, with the Me'avodah Kachavim, Ikabadei, is Avodah Zarah money. Ella, says the Gemara, Avodah Kachavim Amrinin, when we speak about a Nachri, we say Glima Zavin, Chamra Zavin, he sold a garment, or he sold a donkey, and therefore there was no transaction with Avodah Zarah. So ask the Gemara, if that's what is a fair assumption, so ask the Gemara, Yisrael Nami Neima. So why don't we say the same thing about the Yisrael, that Eima Glimas Oven, that what did the Yisrael sell at this fair? He sold a coat, Chamrezambit, he sold a donkey. And not that there should be any, therefore any concern. Answers the Gemara, Eisa de Havilei, if the Jew had a coat or whatever, a donkey to sell, Hochava Mazmalei, he wouldn't have had to travel to this fair. He would have sold it where he lives. And as the Rishonim point out, the Yisrael would have preferred to sell it wherever he is. even if he can't get such a good place, good price, versus going to the fair where he maybe will get a better price. And as I sort of was trying to explain, why would we say that? So just like by the Yisrael, we assume that the Yisrael doesn't want to sell it, doesn't want to have to schlep to go to the fair, and that's why he's selling it here, even though he won't get such a good price. Why don't we say the same by a Nachri? So the Rishonim explain, a Yisrael who's doing the right thing doesn't want to go to a fair of Avodah Zarah, even if it means not being able to get a good such a good price. It's not a place where he wants to be. So if we see that Yisrael went there, it's presumable that he went there because he unfortunately has a connection to the Avodah Zarah. By a Nachri, that's where he always goes. He doesn't see an issue with going to a place where there's an Avodah Zarah component to it. So even though he's not selling an Avodah Zarah, that's where he has no problem going if that's where he can get a better deal. We learned in the Mishnah regarding Hatarfus of Abon. Somebody comes back of the place of Tarfus, the Torah will allow to do business with them. When they came back as individuals, not as a group, if they come back as a group, Asurin, they were not allowed to do business with them. Because we have to be concerned, the fact that they're all still connected as a group, what that seems to indicate is the Dat Alachzer, that they have intention to go back to the Avodah Zarah, and that's why they haven't disbanded, and that's why we have to be stricter. We learned in the Mishnah, Noidus Oiv the Chavim, the flasks of a Nochri, or Kankeim, their pitchers, and wine of Yisrael is stored in them, then the Alochi Ramei says that that wine is Osir. Not only is it Osir, but it's Osir Bahanah. The Chum hold, there's no Issa Hanah. Tan Rabbanan begins the Brisa. Noidos, the flasks that are made out of leather in which wine is stored. Noidos, I have to kachavim, gerudim, if they are not coated with tar. Chadoshim, and they don't have this coating on them. If they're brand new, that they were never used previously. Mutarim, that means if you Yisrael put wine in them, then that wine won't become Osbanah. Because even if the Nachri had put wine into these containers previously, they had just been there for a small amount of time, that wine had never really gotten absorbed into the flask. And therefore, we could use that flask. There is a machlokes rishonim, if it's required that we should wash these flasks before use, or we don't even have to wash them. However, you shot them, if they're old flasks, mezufafim, or the flasks that are well coated, even though they weren't used a lot, then they're surim. Then they may not be used until they're kashered, because the fact that they're well used previously, or that they're well tarred, they have a good coating around them, so then the wine got absorbed into the flask. And therefore, to only be able to use it, the only way we could use it is if we kasher the flask. We're going to be discussing soon what that means. But Tosfos adds another dimension to this halacha. Tosfos adds that if the wine that was put into these flasks even though it wasn't there for a long amount of time, but it was meant to be there for a while, that it was nichnas l'kiyum, then the halacha is that they become usur immediately. It says the Gemara, Ivek Chavim Rivka v'Ibdon, but if the Nachri worked on this flask, the Nosan Toichan Yayin, and then the Jew put on wine in it, for Yisrael Eimel Gabov, and Chayshish, if there's a Jew supervising, then it's fine. So ask the Gemara immediately, if the Nachri put wine into these flasks, Ki Yisrael Eimel Gabov, my have it. What's the difference if there's Yisrael supervising. Amra Papa answers the Gemara Hakama. I've come Rivka of if a Nakri prepared this flask and coated the flask, the Yisrael nois not toich yain, and Yisrael puts wine into it, Yisrael achar oimel gabov, and there's a different Jew supervising, then the halacha is ain't a chayshish, we don't have to be worried. Ask the Gemara, Yachad Yisrael nois not toich yain, if there's a Jew who's standing there and he's pouring in his own wine and he's making sure that this flask was never used for other wine, so Yisrael achar oimel gabov lomeli, why do we have to have another Jew standing there? Answers the Gemara, Dilmagav Tirde, because maybe the Jew who's pouring wine into it, maybe the Nachri is Menasech, is the Nachri is using that wine for Avodah Zarah, and the Jew who's busy standing there, Vilavadate, is not really able to pay attention because he's busy with his own wine. And the way, therefore, the only way we could be comfortable that there's no problem is if there's a Jew, the only way we can be comfortable that there's no problem is if there's another Jew supervising. Rezit Amar, Rezit says, Loyal and Kuramit Bekara, that if the Jew, the Nakri put in the wine, the Yisrael Oymel Gabav. And the question is, what does the supervision help? Hachav in the Koshadilei, here we're speaking about a case where they coated the flask, Naskazarik Mayim Latit. What happened is that the cement that's used for coating becomes dried. Any wine gets absorbed into that coating, and therefore any wine that gets absorbed into the coating, then that wine is like it's going to be stuck in that coating. It isn't coming out. So ask the Ran, if that's what happens, that when you do this, the wine gets absorbed into the coating and it's not coming out, so why is it necessary to have a Jew standing and supervising this? So the Ran explains that maybe what we need to be concerned is there might be wine in the walls of this flask, and then he put the coating on top of it, and then afterwards he put some more wine that the coating should have that wine taste. That way I understand is to maybe mask any bad taste that the coating has. The Ravid has a different shot. The Ravid saying that what's happening over here is that the Nachri is pouring in kosher wine. And once a Nachri is touching kosher wine, we have to be concerned what he's going to do with that wine. And therefore, we have to have somebody supervise that whole situation. From what we learned from here, that if we're putting wine, if there's wine and there's coating on top of it that ruins the wine, says the Gemara, "Hi, I've come to Shor Chamer by Milchid Yisrael. If a Nachri put wine into a keli that's full of salt, Shori." Well, that salt is a mutter, because if there's any wine absorbed into the salt, it gets completely ruined. Maskel Rav Ashi, so Rav Ashi says, "Me dummy, are the two situations similar? Hasam, when somebody puts wine into a barrel coated with tar, hasam causes ibur. That wine gets completely covered up with the tar." The wine is within the salt. So this is the way Rashi learned the Gemara, that the Gemara is speaking about a case where somebody poured wine into a salt shaker. Tosfos has problem with this pshat, because the two situations are very different. When you put wine into salt, so the salt has the taste of the wine. But when you put salt into the, when you put wine into the covering, the tar coating, so the coating is absorbing the wine, and nobody's tasting any non-kosher wine. And because of that, Rabbi Tam has a different pshat in the Gemara. We're speaking about a case, not where a Nachri put wine into the salt shaker, but we put wine into the place where they make salt, that they used to put water with salt on top of a fire to evaporate the water and be left with the salt. And that's where Rav Zvid said the salt is mutter, because the fire that is burning out and evaporating the water will be doing so to the wine as well. And Rav Ashi said that even though the wine, like the water, is getting evaporated, but that taste that the salt received remains there. The Taisa says that the halacha is that wine that's put into the salt, as with Taisa's pshat, the wine that's put into the salt as the salt is being manufactured, then the halacha is that that salt is indeed mutter. And I saw that the Rishonim point out that apparently what they used to do is that when they used to produce ink, also at times they put wine into the ink, and the halacha is that wine that's put into ink, also we need not be concerned that wine is like the wine that's put during the manufacture of salt. Says the Gemara, Bar Adi Tayil, there was a Arab whose name was Bar Ado, Onas Hanizika Mi Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef. He stole leather flasks from Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef, a Rama Bar Chamer, and he put wine into those flasks. And then, he returned those flasks to Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef. Also, Vishal Ben Medrasha. And now Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef comes to the yeshiva to ask, what can he do with those flasks? Omle Rav Yirmiya. Rav Yirmiya told him, Kach hayu Rav Ami Aloch Lamaisa. Rav Ami taught us, Malam Mayim Shloish Yomim, you should fill them up with water for 3 days. And then every day, after every 24-hour period, pour out the water. After every 24 hours, you have to pour out the water, fill up another time, and again and again. This is what's known in the halachas of kashering of Gimel Yomim Mili V'Iri. The Shulchan Aruch, when it speaks about the procedure of Iri Gimel Yomim, says a number of halachas, that we use Iri Gimel Yomim by vessels that are coated, by earthenware vessels, which we know normally earthenware vessels cannot be kashered, or vessels that are made to store wine for extended period of time. But normal vessels, which have been used only temporarily to hold non-kosher wine, can be kashered, since it's cold, can be kashered only through scrubbing and rinsing them. The Ran explains that the reason these vessels that we're speaking about here required the procedure of Iri Gimel Yomim, because these were vessels that were lined with tar, and also they were vessels that were used for storage. And the halacha is that if it's a vessel that's used for long-term storage, if you need to kasher it, that's the way to kasher it with Iri Gimel Yomim. This question comes up if there are different types of vessels that one cannot normally kasher, is the way to kasher them for Pesach. So the Poskim that suggest that you could kasher them with Iri Gimel Yomim. The Shach says that perhaps the process of Iri Gimel Yomim is only valid with wine, because when you have so much water being used in this vessel, it weakens the taste of the wine. However, vessels which were used to store real chametz, maybe Iri Gimel Yomim would not be sufficient. The Ritva says that the procedure of Iri Gimel Yomim requires that the vessel be filled up for 3 consecutive 24-hour periods. The Shulchan Aruch, however, says that they don't have to have consecutive 3 days. The Rosh also teaches us that when we speak about Iri Gimel Yomim, they have to be full of that water for a full 24-hour period. If the water was emptied out before 24-hour period, that day doesn't count. The Rashbah says that Iri Gimel Yomim is valid even if the water was changed in the middle of one of the 24-hour periods. Certainly, the halacha is, certainly la halacha, lechatchila, if one is using iri gimel yamim, you should do it the proper way. Fill it up with water. Have the water there for 24 hours. Have it for 3 consecutive days. And again, as we're learning in our shir, it's a real question, how and do we rely on iri gimel yamim? Many try to avoid using iri gimel yamim. The only time that they rely on iri gimel yamim is by wine. Savimine, so Rav Yitzchak ben Yosef, hearing this discussion, thought, hanimili didon, that this process of iri gimel yamim is only going to work in the case that we discussed, where the flask belonged to Jew. Avil the two, if the flask began belong to a nachri loy, then this would not be a valid procedure. But says the Marcos Ravin, Amar Shimon ben Lakish, Echad Shlanu v'Echad Shlahem. In all cases, this is a valid procedure. Sava Racha Bereid Rav Kamei Rav Ashi LeMeimer Hani Mili. He thought that this is only applicable by noides, by flask made out of leather, which was the story that we had. The story of Rav Yitzchak ben Yosef was leather flasks. Avakan Kanim, if we have pitchers or barrels that are made of earthenware, which we know that earthenware is much more porous and absorbs much more, loy, this would not be adequate. Amalei Rav Ashi, to which Rav Ashi said, loyshna noidos, loyshna kankanim, the procedure of iri gimel yamim is acceptable. Tanabon kankum, if you have a pitcher made out of earthenware, shlev de kachavim, that belong to a nachri that's used to put wine in them, chadoshim, if they were new, grudim, and they also don't have a coating, mutarim, if the Jew puts wine into it, there's no problem, and it could be used without a problem. Yishanim, but if they're old ones that were already used previously, or mizyofim, or they were coated, asurim, because then we have a problem that there was wine absorbed into the walls of this keli. And since they're absorbed into the wall of the keli, when we put our thing in, they'll mix. Says the Gemara, if a nachri put wine into a pitcher, and we have the procedure, says the Gemara, of iri gimel yamim. If a nachri put wine into that barrel, and Yisrael nois l'toich et sir, if Yisrael then put in fish sauce or murius, another dish that we discussed many times in our shiurim that is made out of fish, then says the Gemara in a chayshish, then the halacha is that the wine is mutter, and that you could use that barrel. So the way Rashi explains the Gemara is that the sir and murius are very sharp type of foods, and what they do is they kasher whatever absorbed into the wall, having tzirim murius in this keli, and after you could use that keli. How much time does the tzirim murius have to be in this keli to affect this? The Rashba says even a small amount of time. The Rosh says that it has to be there for 24 hours, and the Ritva says that it has to be like we're speaking about water. Just like by water we're learning, you have to have mili v'irui 3 times, so too, you would have to have mili v'irui 3 times. The Rishonim also point out that whatever time we want to rely on this, whenever we want to rely on this type of a kashrin, it has to be something that is sharp, that is salty. But if it's not salty, this procedure would not be helpful. Ibailu, so now they asked in the yeshiva, l'chatchilo or b'di'evid. This that we just spoke about, putting tzir or murius into the keli, will become an effective method of kashering. Ask the Gemara, is that l'chatchilo or b'di'evid? The way to understand the question is, can the when if Yisrael there's a lot of put Sirim Murius L'chatchila into this Kalim. Or maybe Chazal said that don't use it because you may come to use it for wine. The other one, or another question is, that is this a way of learning the Gemara's question? Is this a l'chatchila the fashion of how to kasher? Toshma, the Tanur Rav Zid Bar Oishia, halakayach can kind of mavit kachavim, if somebody's buying pictures from a nachri, chadoshim, if they're new, they were never used, nois not teichu yayin, the Yisrael could put wine into those pictures, yishonim, if they're used ones, nois not teichu tzira meris l'chatchila, this is l'chatchila procedure. Bamnei, Rav Yehuda Nesim and Rav Ami, hechziram, l'kifshar eish, if somebody has these pictures, and they're put back into the kiln. They kli cheres are made in a furnace. You put the keli back into the furnace. The nisnablu, and they become completely hot and like new. What's the halach? Amalach, if tzir sairif, if we're learning now that putting sharp fish sauce has the ability that it could make it kosher, or lekoshkein, putting into this furnace certainly would be effective. It says the Gemara, Itman Nami Amr Rav Yochanan, Vamalei Amr Rav Asi Amr Rav Yochanan, Kakanim Shalav Dekhavim, Shechziru Kivshin Eish, if they were put into the Kivshin Eish, then the Halacha is Kivin Shanishu Zivson. It's got so hot that whatever coating you have on the walls starts to fall off, then Mutarim, they become kosher. Amr Rav Ashi, says the Gemara, Loi Taimu, that we have to have it to the degree at the Nosran, that all of the coating fell off. Ella, I feel a mirpa ripple. If it, all that happened was that the coating got weakened, and it's not that well attached to the walls of the keli, Avgav de Leinosar, even though they didn't completely fall off, that the halach is that it will be kosher. And the question of this Gemara is, how hot? Basically, the Gemara's question is, how hot does it have to become to be kosher? Says the Gemara, Kinsa, if somebody puts in wood that into the keli, into this vessel, and that heat of burning wood causes the coating to come off. Says the Gemara, Pligaba is the subject of Machlokes or Vacher Ravina. Chad Asur, that one man Dama holds that this is not an effective method of kashering, Chad Shari, and one says that it is effective man of kashering. Vilchasa, the halacha is that command also that's not effective form of kashering. And Rashi explains that all that putting a fire inside the vessel accomplishes is that it'll cause that the coating that's inside the vessel will come off. But that doesn't really affect a proper kashering. The Rabbeinu Elchanan has a different explanation, which is very important when we speak about Hilchas Kashering. It says Kashering means to put something into fire. But fire, always, Kashering by Liban, by putting fire, always means having the fire from the outside, not having the fire from the inside. And explains the reason that fire from the inside doesn't work is because we need to be concerned that the keli, if you're going to put the fire from the inside, it's going to cause that the keli should break and therefore not be kashered properly. However, says the Ran, that if you put fire inside the keli and it got so hot that it reached outside, the outside of the keli reached a temperature that is as hot as if you would have put the fire from the outside, then the Ran says it would be an effective kashering. But, points out the Ramban, that even though we're speaking here about putting the fire inside and will it affect kashering, will it not be an effective kashering, there's a much more fundamental question that we need to understand, asked the Ramban. Here we're speaking about kli cheres, earthenware, and asked the Ramban, as we know, earthenware cannot be kashered. So, what's the whole discussion here? Says the Ramban, absolutely, the halacha is that under normal circumstances, earthenware cannot be kashered. The earthenware that we're speaking about in our Gemara is earthenware that's used just to store wine. Earthenware that's only used to store wine, which is stored cold, there, kashering at certain point, at certain circumstances, will be effective. And now our Gemara is having a discussion, just like we learned Mili V'iri would be effective, this would be effective as well. But the question now is, if we're kashering in a more traditional fashion of kashering, what will be considered an effective kashering for this type of a keli that's used for storing wine with when we don't have, when we heat it up in the different ways that the Gemara is speaking about it. Now the Gemara asks a different question. If somebody put beer is into this keli, we learned earlier that putting tzir or murius into the keli is an effective manner of kashering. So now the question is, will beer have the same effect as shecher? The Rishonim ask a question, but why would this be effect? Why would this be a question? We know that the halacha is that ein mevatlin is l'chatchila. We're not allowed to do something l'chatchila. We're not allowed to go put beer into a keli that we're not supposed to use. So why over here is there even a consideration that l'chatchila we should be allowed to do this? So the Rishonim explain again with the same concept that we've been learning. If we have a keli that's not kosher, and you want to cook with a pot that's not kosher, that's certainly considered a situation of emevatlin isl chatchila. But in a case that we're not speaking like that now, rather, here we're speaking about a case where it's wine that is not really, that's kept cold in this keli. So since it's wine that's kept cold in the keli, the entire requirement for kashering is much less. And since the requirement for kashering is much less, that's why there may be allowed to do this l'chatchila. And the Gemara says it's actually a machlokes, Rav Nachman, Rav Yehuda, Asri, v'Rav Ashari. Says the Gemara, Ravina Sharle, Rav Chiya Bereder, Rav Yitzchak, Lemirma, Bashikra. The Gemara says Ravina allowed them to put beer into it. Azol, Raman by Chamra. And Rav Chiya then put wine into it. So now, what we see here, there's maybe a concern that if we're going to allow people to use it for beer, they may come to use it for wine. So he says we need not be concerned from this. And a cry by Alma, who this was an accident, and we don't have to be concerned about it. Rav Yitzchak Abista Havalei had a mani, the Pankusa. Rav Yitzchak Abista had different kalim that were made out of animal dung, melina mayim, and they were used for non-kosher wine. And Rabbi Yitzchak wanted to kasher these kalim, so melina mayim, he filled them up with water, and chinah b'shimshon, and then he put that vessel full of water out in the sun, and paku, because of the heat, the kalim burst. Amalei Rav Abba, asatina alach yisur d'loilim. These kalim can never be used because he caused them to just be broken. So he said, Amar Rabbanan, when Chachzal said that we have a fashion of kashering the kalim with Mili V'iri, it's only in a case of Melinu Mayim and do Miri V'ilu Gimel Yamim like we described earlier. Anuchi B'Shimsha, but to put it out in the sun, that doesn't help. Amrav Yosna, Amrav As, Ami Klineser, Kalim that are made out of clay. Elam Tara Elamis, they cannot be kashered because the wine gets very absorbed into the walls of that keli and it can't be extracted. Ask the Gemara, my Klineser, exactly what is Klineser? Amrav Yosef Baroven, clay machbar shlotsif. The Kalim that are made out of earth that earth is used to make dyes. There's a very, very fundamental machloikus rishonim, and that is, what about a situation where you have a keli that became not kosher, and particularly as we're speaking in our shir, we have some of these kelim are made out of things that can't be kashered. Can we rely on the fact that we don't use the keli for 12 months. Would that be considered a legitimate form of kashering? It's a very big machlokes rishonim. Some rishonim suggest that it's not an acceptable that we shouldn't rely on it. And there are those that say that if we have a keli, that we have no other way of kashering, then relying, not using it 12 months, so whatever blia is in that keli is certainly totally disintegrated when we have no other option may be done. And that is actually the opinion of the Chacham Tzvi. The question comes up, for example, when you have china, which, as we're learning in our shir, which is made out of earthenware, which cannot be kashered, and let's say it becomes not, you have something made out of china that it becomes not kosher, can you put it away and not use it for 12 months and rely on that? As I said, the Chacham Tzvi, the Shari Tshuva, quotes the Chacham Tzvi to be lenient. Many poskim follow that opinion. But it's important to note that when we say that you can rely on the Chacham Tzvi in under such circumstances, is only the circumstance that we just described, where the keli became non-kosher, not because something out of your control, a mistake or whatever. And now you want to be able to use that keli again. But to buy something, an earthenware keli, which you know is not kosher, and rely that I'm not going to use it for 12 months, and therefore it should be considered kashered, is not halachically acceptable, according to all opinions. Says the Gemara, the Bei Parzik Rafila, there was a Nachri whose name was Parzik, who was a vice president. He stole pitchers from Pavadisa, Rama Bachamra, and he put wine into them. And then Ahadrin Lele, and ultimately their pitchers were returned to the Jews. Also Shailula Rav Yehuda, they went and asked Rav Yehuda, what is the status of these kalim? Amar Davish Emachnis Kimhu, since the wine that the Nochri put into there was not put with the intention to be there long term, then the Aloch is Meshach, so then it doesn't require full-fledged kashering, and it's adequate that Meshach Shechem V'mayim, he rinses them with water and Mutarim their mutter. Omra Papi, Hani Pasfasa, earthenware kalim of the Nokrim, the Bei Mechsi, that are made out of clay, out of a place called Bei Mechsi, Kim Deloi Bali Tuva, they're not very absorbent. Meshach Shechem V'mayim, it's enough just to rinse them with water and umitarim. There is a machloikis if the water has to be there for any decent amount of time or not. Some rishonim say that since we're here with two reasons to be lenient. One, it's not made out of a very absorbent material, and it's also not meant that the wine should be kept there long term. So just rinsing them is sufficient. Others say, but only if you have both conditions met. Some say that even if just the fact that it's not very absorbent is enough, that Meshach Shechem V'mayim is enough. Kasi, earthenware cups that the Nachrim put wine into. Ravasi Asur, he said if you want to kasher those cups, you have to have iri v'mili v'iri gimel yamim. Vashi shari, that you just have to rinse them. Says the Gemara, Ishasu b'hum abdikham yayim pam rishin, if the Nakri only used it one time, kul amalei pligi, the asur, that everybody will agree that it's asur. Because if pam rishin, according to this explanation, it was the first time the earthenware is very absorbent, the first time it's used, and therefore it's asur. Ki pligi, the machlokes here is if the Nakri only put wine into it, but pa sheni, the second time the cup was used. But then there's a different version. Ekadami, pam rishon v'sheni, the first or second time that this cup is used, kolomai pligi d'asur, everybody agrees that it's still quite absorbent. Ki pligi, and therefore the only way to be able to use this cup is by kashering it. Ki pligi, the pam shlishi, if it was used for wine only after it was the third time the keli was in use. V'elchsen d'aloch is pam rishon v'sheni. If wine was put into this cup the second time that it was used, that it's usur, because it becomes very absorbent. The third time, it's mutter. That's the way Rashi learns the Gemara. Rabbeinu Tam and Rambam have a different explanation of this Gemara. Their explanation of this Gemara is that everybody will agree that rinsing will be satisfactory here. The question is, how many times must you rinse it? Is once or twice, is one rinsing or two rinsing enough? Or do you have to have three rinsing? And the Gemara is saying that you have to rinse it three times. Amar Rav Zad, Hani Merli the Kanya, that kalim of earthen kalim that have a coating from inside. Chivra v'ichma, if they're white or black, shari, because what happens is that coating prevents any wine that's put into this keli from getting absorbed into the world, into the walls. Yeruka, but if it's green, some say it's yellow, usur. Mishun the mitzrif, that type of coating will absorb the wine. V'yisbe kartafuni, and if these kalim have cracks, kule asurim, then it doesn't make a difference what color coating, what type of coating, because the wine that you're pouring into this cup gets absorbed into the cracks in the wall. And since they get absorbed into the cracks in the wall, then you can't use that keli because that wine will come out the same way as it went in.